This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Isn't he? And he does some things. Watch this. After the goal is scored, he's got the puck. Watch what he does with the puck. He's going to keep it in his pants. I don't know if he wants to sell it on the open market or not, but they're not going to get that puck from Binnington, but that is until linesman Michel Cormier came over and said, hey, we know you got the puck, buddy.
Yeah, the Blues on TNT last night took a loss in Washington to the Capitals, and in that game, they allowed Alex Ovechkin's 900th career goal, which is just unbelievable, the future Hall of Famer, scoring 900 off Jordan Binnington. And then, as they were at break, they noticed that Binnington had taken that puck and stuffed it in his pants like he was trying to take it home with him. We got Bernie Miklas and Chris Ronji on KMOX today on the Gas House Gang. We appreciate you being with us today. We've got that. We've got Ken Wilson, former Blues broadcaster, on the show at 12:30. Looking forward to talk to him. There is a development with the San Diego Padres managerial search. They have a new manager, and it is not Albert Pujols. Craig Stammen is taking that job. So all of that and more. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ronji, and Bernie, what was that last night?
You know, I shameless self-promotion, I just got done recording a video on it. It won't be up for a while at STL Sports Central. And there's so many layers to this. First of all, you just don't know what to make of Jordan Binnington. Did he crack? Was he trying to be funny? Was it a way of dealing with his frustrations? He was really ticked off. He's having a terrible season. He gave away the puck that set up that goal. So was this just him like an angry gesture? Oh, you scored. I'm taking the puck. You know, Jordan Binnington has done all these things throughout his career, and it's very, very entertaining, but it's also at times kind of odd. And you never know what really motivates him at that particular moment when he's in the heat of the competition. But it was strange, but it was also funny. I think it was harmless. I think he did make himself part of the story, which probably isn't cool, but again, it's harmless. The one thing I would say, Jordan Binnington's lucky, because if he had the linesman had not taken the puck, Ovechkin may have skated over there and grabbed Binnington by the scruff of the net and shook him violently until the puck fell out of his pants. Right?
Yeah.
Now that would have really been a scene. Yeah,
dude. I last night when it happened, we've got a show thread for Chris and Amy, a text message thread. And I texted, Amy and Matt Pajeski, our producer, and I said, "What was he joking? Like, was he really trying to take that puck, or was he mad, or was he thinking, hey, I'm going to sell this on eBay later?" And it does sound like it's innocuous. You know, it's not that big of a deal. It was funny, but I'm not sure the Capitals see it that way. And it doesn't sound like the rest of the hockey world sees it that way necessarily.
I think, based on what I was seeing, reading a sampling of that stuff, I think the reaction was to just ridicule Binnington, not so much to get angry at him, but just to make fun of him, because he's really having a poor season, and he was really bad last night. He gave up 4 goals and 15 shots, which the Blues have a huge problem in net this year. I think the people that were going after Binnington on social media were really doing it to make fun of him and just to try to, what a tool, what is he thinking? And a lot of jokes about, well, at least he tried to save something last night, a lot of that humor. So it is pretty good, right?
Yeah. Sorry. That's pretty funny. I hate to admit it, but that's pretty solid. I was talking about, how all these different outlets talked about it, and ESPN, that was their on their top headlines section on the ESPN homepage. That was story 2 or 3. And it wasn't Alex Ovechkin scores 900. It was Jordan Binnington tries to steal the puck from Alex Ovechkin's 900th. You know, it was, it became part of the story in that game last night and what was supposed to be Ovi's big moment.
I would prefer And I'm not a grouch about stuff. In fact, Bennington's so colorful and he's been so zany and entertaining. It's who he is. So this was kind of true to his nature. He's a very eccentric guy. And he's been, for the most part, a great goaltender for the Blues and historically great because of his Stanley Cup run. But so I'm not like one of these people that's way too serious about everything, especially hockey, such a colorful sport. But I personally would have preferred that Ovechkin scores that great goal and it's all about him and nothing else. I mean, I would prefer that Binnington didn't make himself part of the story. Not that that was his intention. Oh, I'm going to crash the party and become part of the story. I don't think he processed that in advance. I just think it was like the typical spontaneous Jordan Binnington's way of having just another little mini eruption.
And so the other part of the story last night, Bernie, is not just the Binnington thing and the funny, image of him trying to steal the puck and stuffing it down his pants, but it is also the fact the Blues, after a good win a couple of nights ago, they follow that up with getting absolutely, had the brakes beaten off them again, 6-1. They lose last night. So that's now 8 of 9 they have lost. They got to play again tonight in Buffalo. But we were all hoping that would be a springboard. You know, here's the win, monkeys off the back, let's go. Let's start playing the way everybody thought they were capable of playing, and they go right back to getting badly beaten on the road.
And they went in there to play a Capitals team that had been playing really poorly. I think they have like a winless streak of 4 games, maybe even 5. So it's not like the Capitals were red hot. I mean, in theory, the Blues went in there at a good time. And the Ovechkin goal made it 2-0, and then the rout was on. And I thought it was, very disappointing. Listen, the Blues, they have a lot of problems. Their scorers, the guys that are paid to score, are not finishing. The Blues just are hemorrhaging in terms of giving up goals. They've given up 58 goals in 14 games. That's the 6th highest total by a Blues team after 14 games in the 58 seasons of Blues hockey. So they're historically bad in terms of allowing goals. And for the season, they've been outscored by 20. That's a lot for the first 14 games. Binnington's having a terrible season. Listen, that's all based 100% on facts. Terrible season. Hofer is having a terrible season. I don't know. See, I don't know where a team goes. I don't know how a team gets better and gets healthy, so to speak, when the goaltending is that horrendous. It has been truly horrendous so far.
That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Chris Ranji. We will take your thoughts, your text messages are welcome at 314-436-7900. You can watch the Gas House Gang on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find us at KMOX Sports. And if you comment, we might get to your comment or question. You can leave those on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter if you would like to. A lot to get into. Baseball free agency, completely open free agency, starts at 4 o'clock today. So we could talk about what the Cardinals may or may not do, trades potentially. There's a lot happening. Bernie, how about this as we hit the break? Since we're talking about the lousy St. Louis sports stuff, how about Bradley Carnell, who was the coach for City SC? He's been named the MLS Coach of the Year for Philadelphia. So he gets fired here. He goes to Philly, and he is the Coach of the Year.
I liked him. I thought he did a great job here. And I said at the time, I thought that the firing was premature. And obviously we know by now that the problem ran deeper than coaching.
Yep. They had their new sporting director, Corey Ray, who was introduced yesterday. And we will see if he takes City SC in a better direction. Ken Wilson is going to join the show today. That'll be at 12:30. He's got a new book out. We will talk about that. And we'll talk about his time calling Blues games. Love Ken Wilson. Loved Ken Wilson hockey games. The Gas House Gang is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a 3-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022.
Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji on the Gas House Gang today. Bernie is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin dealer, with you until 1 o'clock. And we do have Ken Wilson, the former Blues announcer on the TV side, joining the show at 12:30. Looking forward to a conversation with him, one of my favorite announcers of all time. And Albert Pujols, you heard the highlight there, Bernie. And we got the news within the last half hour or so that even after a what was reported to be a 9.5-hour interview with the San Diego Padres and apparently a ton of interest on both sides. I don't think you have an interview like that unless there is a massive amount of interest. He is not going to be the new Padres manager. Craig Stammen is being hired instead. And Jeff Passan was one of the first to tweet about this and said, of all the surprising hires so far, this is the most surprising. I think we all thought Albert was going to be the guy, especially after the Angels job. He didn't want anything to do with that, it sounds like. And this Padres gig where there's a lot going on there and a lot going for whoever's going to be the manager there. I'm a little surprised that it didn't go to him, or maybe he said he didn't want it after all.
Yeah, and he did have an interview, or he was interviewed in person in Baltimore by the Baltimore Orioles, too, so that there was at least some interest there, too. Albert has got very high standards, and I don't think Albert wants to take a lousy job. I think Albert wants to take a job with a stable franchise, as in one that he considers to be stable, with a great tradition, and, you know, with kind of a good amount of success in the past, the recent past. I also think that Albert Pujols is a man with his own ideas. I would surmise that he would want to have a major say in terms of picking the coaching staff rather than having a general manager pick it for him. The Padres are a volatile franchise. The owner died a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. A.J. Preller is a really aggressive general manager, but he's also an impulsive general manager. It's kind of a chaotic franchise. He's had problem with managers. None of them have lasted, really. So if Albert Pujols was looking for a place he could set up shop and stay for a long time and in a stable working environment, probably San Diego wasn't going to be the place anyway. And if A.J. Preller thought that Albert Pujols was going to be a little headstrong about what he wanted to do, A.J. Preller, everybody knows this, really believes like he's going to control the manager. So maybe it just wasn't a fit. I don't know what else to say. I think Albert is really going to be picky about waiting for the right job to come along rather than just grabbing anything.
And so Lauren, who watches every day on Facebook, and we appreciate Lauren for being a part of the show, she says the only manager job left is the Colorado Rockies. And if we're talking about an organization that's a good one, he's not going there. I would be stunned if he ended up being the Rockies manager. It's just that they're in such a lousy situation, and a lot of people around baseball believe that might be the worst organization in the sport right now. So I just cannot see him going there.
Not a chance. And what he should do, he's a great baseball ambassador. He works for MLB Network. He's going to be managing the Dominican Republic in the World Baseball Classic. He had a very successful first season managing the professional team in the DR. In fact, they won the Caribbean World Series, not only the league title, but the Caribbean World Series. So Albert Pujols is paying his dues, and he's showing that he's got what it takes to be a terrific manager. I just really respect him for maybe going into these interviews and having a clear vision of what he would like to do and how he would like things set up and what his authority would be. And that probably makes some GM types a little nervous, but I respect that's Albert Pujols, the smartest guy I ever knew in baseball. So, well, you know, I would expect nothing less from him. Why would he go in there and be a wallflower? You know?
Yeah. So, and I think that you can imagine, Bernie, at least from some Cardinals fans, the next natural step is, well, he's available. So why don't they get him in the organization? Why don't they start, you know, grooming him to become the next manager? And I don't know that everybody agrees with that right now, but obviously there is a lot of love for him. And I think a lot of people love the idea of bringing him here. As I've said, you know, be careful with that kind of thing, because just because he's a smart baseball guy, and we know he is, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. We know that. That does not necessarily mean it would end up going well with him as the dugout, as the manager in the dugout. We don't know that for sure.
Well, to me, it's also a matter of principle. I mean, once you made the decision to bring back Ollie Marmol, at least for the final season, and then they'll go from there of his contract. Once that decision was made, and that decision actually was made quite a while back. I think Chaim Bloom really was impressed by the job Marmol did this past season, which he should have been. It was an impossible situation for a manager. But once you make the decision, well, you know, he's got a year left. I like how he sees the game. We have great conversations. I like the way he thinks. We're on the same page. We can work together. He understands the situation we're in. He's wired to handle a situation like this. And so it's a good fit for now. So Chaim Bloom makes that call, and I respect it, because he wasn't going to pander to fans or media pressure. He was going to do what he thought was best. And that's what I want him to do, because he just has to keep his eye on the ultimate prize, not try to please people. Because you only please people by winning, and winning consistently, and bringing the Cardinals back to where they were. That's how you make people happy. But once you, and I'm sorry, I'm taking a long time getting to the point. My bad. This is what I do.
We love it.
Once you made the decision to go forward with Marmol, it would have been absolutely stupid, but also inexcusable, that you bring in a Pujols and Molina to be a coach. Because every time Ollie Marmol lost a game or a series, you would have this colony of haters just going absolutely nuts. Yep. Every single time, screaming for Pujols to take over. Is that fair to Marmol? No, you just don't do that. It's just not cool to do that. Because if you're going to do that, then you might as well dump Marmol, which he wasn't going to do. And again, I admire his independent thinking on that. But you don't set up Marmol for failure, where at least a percentage of the fan base doesn't like him at all. Yeah, oh, yeah, we'll put Pujols in the dugout. How do you think that'll turn out?
Oh, I think it would be brutal. I think every time, you're right, every time there's a loss, you'd have a huge percentage of the fan base who would just say, you've got the replacement right there in the dugout, sitting right next to him. So why don't you go ahead and make that move? And that would have been a really lousy situation. But again, I think the bigger point here is that there is no guarantee Albert's going to be a great manager. There's no guarantee Yadier is going to be a great manager. They, first of all, would have to have good teams around them.
Right,
you've got to have a good roster, or you are not going to win ball games, period. That's just the end of the discussion. There's nothing beyond that. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the future, but I'm with you. I don't think that Albert or Yadi probably would have made sense next year to be in that dugout.
Well, the other point, I'll be quick. If Bill DeWitt Jr. is going to hire Chaim Bloom, and he's going to give him the keys to the baseball operation, and he's going to say, whatever you need, go rebuild the player development system. We need all the technology. Go do it. We need this. Go do it. Hire instructors, hire coaches, analytics department, facilities, go upgrade all that. Spend the money. We have to, this is a major project. Go do it. Then you're giving him the freedom to rebuild the front office and hire whoever he wants for the front office. And you're giving him the power, the authority to do everything the way he thinks it should be done. And he has Bill DeWitt's blessings. So wait a minute. But you're not going to let him choose his own manager? I mean, in what stupid universe does that happen, right?
That's right.
He's got to hire his own manager.
That's
if not, then what's the whole point of bringing him in?
Oh, Baby, From the Blue Line to the Foul Line is a new book by our next guest. It is Ken Wilson, former Blues announcer, and he will join the Gas House Gang when we come back on 104.1 FM.
Snatch heads to the net, leaves the puck, Eastwood shot, that's blocked, and scores! Unbelievable! Oh, baby! history.
Oh, boy, that is the voice of Ken Wilson, former Blues announcer, and we are expecting to have a conversation with him in just a matter of moments on 104.1 FM KMOX. Love those calls, Bernie. Loved hearing Ken Wilson call hockey. Just one of the greats.
Listen, he was so incredibly talented calling baseball and hockey. Like, there was no difference in the quality, the distinct voice, the great calls, the knowledge, just a smooth presentation. But as we heard there, then that emotion would just rise and just rise when it was a big moment. He captured the big moments perfectly. And what a talented man. And I know the generation is a generation, at least one, maybe two of St. Louisans grew up listening to Ken Wilson calling Cardinals games and Blues games. And they were well served. They were highly entertained by Ken Wilson for a long time.
Yeah, his new book is called Oh Baby, From the Blue Line to the Foul Line, My Life Calling Games. And so as soon as we can link up with Ken Wilson, looking forward to that conversation. But in the meantime, Bernie, let's just real quick wanted to get into the Cardinals offseason, which today, I guess you could say, well, it's already underway and has been for a while. But today at 4 o'clock, it is open free agency, so any teams can make any offers to any players. There are no restrictions on that. We know all about that. We also have heard that, you know, Nolan Arenado very likely to be traded. He's going to waive his no trade clause if the Cardinals can find a place for him, I suppose, provided it's a place he wants to go. And Jeff Passan reporting this week that Lars Nootbaar very likely or possible to be dealt. So this could be a very busy next several weeks, Bernie. Just how busy do you think it's going to end up being?
Well, to be busy, it's just a question of who's going to go. I think the most likely trade chip is Brendan Donovan, simply because he's got the most valuable value over, and he's cost controlled. Can't become a free agent for two more years. And that's going to appeal to teams, especially with a labor war looming in 2027. You don't know what it's going to look like after the labor war in terms of, will there be a salary cap? Will there be a more extensive luxury tax? So teams are going to be reluctant to give out these huge, huge deals that last for a long time because they don't know what the new system is going to look like. So, I think Donovan is an ideal trade piece because of his value, and they're not going to sign him to a contract extension. So you should cash in. I do think Nootbaar will be traded. It's just a matter of timing. Are teams going to be nervous about the double heel surgery, or are they going to wait and see how he looks in 2026? Maybe make a run at him at the trade deadline? I don't know. I think more than anything, the biggest thing that he can do this offseason, Heim Bloom, is – he's got to find starting pitching. It isn't even like an option. He has got to find starting pitching. And I would even say two starting pitchers, because there's a little bit of a bridge there. You got a wave of young pitchers on the way, but they're not here just yet. So you need some stopgap pitchers on one-year contracts.
Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, the Gas House Gang is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. We now go to the guest line today, and former Blues announcer Ken Wilson joins the show. His new book is Oh Baby, From the Blue Line to the Foul Line. Ken, it is good to talk to you. How are you?
I couldn't be better. Nice to talk to you fellas. I caught a little bit online, and Bernie said something nice about me, so I almost thought I wouldn't come on.
Ken, you know I love you, man. You know, so you distinguished yourself to the St. Louis fans who you were part of the family for a long time in two sports. So I know you're proud of what you did here. You should be.
Well, I had a good time, and I liked it. And, you know, as a typical sportscaster, I've worked in more than one market. But nowhere did I work, nor did I live longer than St. Louis. And I love being there. And, you know, I follow the Blues every single game. And, you know, you don't get that out of your blood. And I've always appreciated the fans and the fact that people appreciated, for the most part, what I was able to do there.
So when you are, you know, coming up with the thought that you want to write a book, about your time as a broadcaster in hockey and baseball. It's a pretty big undertaking to do that. So what made you finally commit to it?
You know, I never thought about writing a book. And I was sitting in Brisbane, Australia, and this would have been less than 2 years ago, doing games in the Australian Baseball League. And the fellow I worked with was an American. And he was, and I mentioned this in the book, he was a bit fascinated sitting next to me as if I was somebody important in the sportscasting world. And of course, I tried to tell him, no, you've got the wrong story. And he told me three or four times, he said, why don't you write a book? You've had this long career. A lot of people know you. Why don't you write a book? And I said, you know, there's no use writing a book. There aren't that many people that know about my career, and I don't think many people would care to read the book. But he kept talking and talking. So finally I said to my wife, I said, C.J. Barnes wants me to write a book. And she said, well, what do you think? I said, I don't think there's much of a market for it. And she said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you write the book, and at least you'll have it, and the grandkids, the great-grandkids years from now, can read what you did in your life. And I said, okay. I've got plenty of time on my hands. I think I can write a little bit. I'm no Bernie Miklas, but I can write a little bit. And so thus the book came about, and I don't have any great expectations. I enjoyed writing it, and if a few people read it and like it, hey, terrific.
Ken, in a way, it's an unfair question because it's like asking a parent to choose his favorite kid or whatever. But all your years in St. Louis specifically, who were some of your, and I know you get into this in the book, who were some of your very favorite people that you covered and you dealt with and that you watched and you called their games? Who were your personal favorites, some of them?
Wow, that is a tough question. And, you know, I don't really cover that in the book. I talk about my reflections about Whitey. I talk about all the Blues coaches. I talk about my relationship with Mike Keenan, which I think will surprise a lot of people. And you know, there were some always interesting people. I got to know Jack Clark very well because I hired him to manage the River City Rascals way back in 1999. And there were, you know, always some interesting characters. I mean, Tony Pena, the catcher, everybody knows he was humorous, to say the least. And with the Blues, you know, most of the guys were Canadian guys, and I liked them all. They were very easy to deal with. Brett Hull, of course, was the marquee, and he was, I always thought he was very, very childish with his personality and very easygoing, and he was very good to me, and we talked not in depth, but talked a lot, so I liked him. And, you know, there were others that certainly I liked. And Ron Curran, of course, was the GM almost the entire time I was there. And he was a character, at the least, as he would always say when a guy had a bad game. He was just a spectator. one of the more memorable lines. But, you know, there have been a lot of fellas. I had Mark McGuire when I did the Oakland A's in the late 90s, and of course he was back with the Cardinals later, and I reflect a little bit on what wasn't the warmest relationship that I had with Mark McGuire, and I regret that a little bit. And, you know, those things happen. You know, when I was broadcasting, you know, I always hated to bother players, okay? And I don't know why I always thought I was bothering them, taking their time, because they were always in demand. They had writers, you had sportscasters, you know, all sorts of people wanting to be with them. And Reggie Jackson, and I talk about this in the book, Reggie, you know, I didn't want to bother Reggie. I didn't even want to go near Reggie because Reggie seemed arrogant. He seemed like, you know, he was all into himself. And so I never talked to Reggie. I'd hang around and hear some of the questions. And then when I was done with the Cardinals in, I think, 1990, I got a call from KTLA in L.A. a couple days later, and I found out later how this developed just recently. But anyway, at that time, they called and said, would you come out to L.A. and do a game for us? Because we're thinking we need to hire somebody to replace Joe Torre, who just went 2 days ago to the Cardinals to be the manager, and we're looking for a TV broadcaster. I said, fine, I'll come out. I'm just out of work, so that's a good deal. Who am I going to work with? And they said, Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that'll be interesting. And you know what? Reggie was the sweetest, kindest, nicest guy, wasn't into himself, and he was terrific. And so it kind of, you know, makes it interesting to know how these fellows are. And I've always, and I felt the same way with Gretzky. You know, I did Sports Channel America games, basically the West Coast games. So we did a lot of Kings games when Wayne was with the LA Kings. And I didn't talk to him much there, didn't bother with him, because, you know, he was always surrounded by 10 or 20 people. And I didn't know if Wayne even knew who I was. And then Gretzky, of course, got traded to the Blues in the middle of a season. So his first practice, I went down to his first practice in the morning, and he walked out of the dressing room. Hey, Ken, how you doing? And I'm going, Wayne Gretzky, I'm surprised he even knows my name. So that gives you some idea, again, how these relationships go. And, you know, you meet a lot of people, and most of them are really, really good people.
Ken Wilson, I got one more for you, sir. Your most famous call, at least in terms of the prominence of the moment, was Pete Rose breaking the all-time record with hit number 4,192. That was an epic American sporting moment. And I'm a writer, so it's easy for me to go back to the hotel or sit in the press box and think about what I want to say about it. You got to call it as it happens. How does someone who's such a distinguished broadcaster, but how do you prepare? You know history's about to happen. How do you get ready for that? Do you get ready for that, or does it just come naturally?
You know, Bernie, that's a good question, and I talk about it in the book also. I was working with Joe Morgan, okay? That was the only year I worked with Joe, 1985. And I might add that Joe was probably the best baseball analyst I ever worked with. And I still, when I watch a game on TV, anytime a runner gets to third, I go, as Joe would say, there's 10 ways to score from third base. That's why you want to get there. But the Pete, you know, you knew the thing was coming, and that was so unusual. When in sports do you have something happen that you knew was about to happen? It just doesn't happen that often. And I decided the only time in my career I ever planned on what I was going to say was at that time. I knew when he had the hit, he'd get to first base. I would have maybe 8 or 9 seconds, maybe 10 seconds. And I obviously didn't want to mess it up. And I wanted to say a few things that had some relevance for Pete. And so I actually wrote it down. And when the time came, I tried not to sound like I was reading. And I used the couple of, I think it was, there it is, hit number 4,192, Pete Rose eclipses Ty Cobb. That was it, nothing brilliant, but I wanted to make sure I got Ty Cobb in. I wanted to get the number in. I had to mention Pete, and then, you know, I had a little time later. So that was probably not only the biggest call I had, but the most unusual, just because if you knew it was going to happen. And the night before, we were ready. It didn't happen. Then it happened in the first inning on the given night.
Well, Ken Wilson, when I interned at this station in 1998, I was most excited to talk to two people. It was Jack Buck, and I got a chance to talk to you on the phone. And that was really fun for me. And so it's awesome to get an opportunity to speak to you again. We appreciate you being on the show. Congratulations on the new book. It's called Oh Baby, From the Blue Line to the Foul Line, My Life Calling Games. Ken Wilson, you're the best. Thank you, man.
Guys, I appreciate it. Nice of you to take the time, and my best to all those great fans in St. Louis.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
The Gas House Gang, and Bernie Miklas in particular, is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. We just spoke to Ken Wilson, former Blues broadcaster, and we've had a couple of text messages asking how you can get his new book, which is called Oh Baby, From the Blue Line to the Foul Line. And you can order it online, PublishingConceptsLLC.com, PublishingConceptsLLC.com. You go to their website, and you should be able to pick it up that way. The book is officially going to be shipped after November 7th. If you buy a a hardback copy of it. But Bernie, it was awesome to get an opportunity to talk to him. And speaking of the Blues, there are all kinds of tweets that are out there now that Jordan Kyrou is going to be a healthy scratch tonight.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Stir the pot.
Right?
Monty's had enough.
Yep.
Listen, there's going to come a time, and I don't know when that'll be, Chris, and I can't, it's not up to me to decide, but if this continues, there is going to be a time where Doug Armstrong and Alex Steen just say, you know what? We got to break up this nucleus. These guys just, you can't trust them. And we need to move some people while they still have high trade value. I don't know when that's coming, but if they continue to just mail in these performances, that day will come. It may come sooner than I would have ever imagined going into the season.
They've got 10 points. They are 14 games into the season. They have 10 points. Only the Calgary Flames right now are worse. And this is just not going the way anybody thought it was going to go. I mean, there were some people who thought, they were good. There were others who thought not only are they good, but they could make some noise in the playoffs. But this is not in any way a team that looks like they're ready for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was kind of in that camp where I really liked the roster that Doug Armstrong put together, retooling, the last couple of years, and some young blood in the lineup and everything like that. And I really thought, hey, they're going to be a good team, and they might be a really good team. Wrong on both counts.
Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji. Bernie will be back tomorrow on Rush Hour Sports with Matt Pauly. That is at 5 o'clock here on KMOX, so we'll be listening in to that, Bernie. But once again, good to talk to you. And we'll do this again on this show Tuesday. How about that?
Looking forward to it.
On Tuesdays.
Thank you.
That's Bernie Miklas. He is with Tom Ackerman and me on Tuesdays on the Gas House Gang. We appreciate you listening in today. Tomorrow, we'll be back at it. This show, it'll be Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, and me. We hope you will listen in for that, and we appreciate you being a part of it today. We hope, we believe, do we know for sure?
Yeah.
Alec Burleson's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, Alec Burleson will be on the show tomorrow at 12:30. Again, listen into the Gas House Gang at noon on 104.1 FM KMOX.